turn to your Bibles here. Turn to your King James Bible with us here this evening here to 2 Chronicles. And we're going to take a look at this passage here. We'll just quickly go through this chapter here. Then we'll try to take a look at a verse for us this evening and try to encourage our hearts. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And many of us probably read through this, heard it preached before. Maybe we even done something as a group or a Sunday school class about 2 Chronicles chapter 7. But think about it. All of us want, maybe, or even wanted to desire something that we want to accomplish or something that, think about, for example, we're praying for. And as we think about our prayer sheet, there's many people we're praying for. There's many things that we have been praying for many, many, many years. I think about even one request that I've been praying for is many years. I remember as a young person, raised my hand, I need prayer for this. I remember it. And still praying for that request and still not giving up on it. And knowing that God can work and God can work in the hearts of that prayer request. And how I'm so thankful that we have a God that hears and answers our requests. I'm so thankful that, I know pastor's been preaching a little bit about, sounded like Bible doctrines a couple weeks ago, but about the how we have the direct access to God. And I'm so thankful that we have direct access to Him. But think about it here as we take a look here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and you think about even in our prayer requests as well, there's many needs. But one of our prayer requests, I know we're praying for our country, we're praying for our leaders. We have November is coming right around the corner. I think early voting is within a month or something like that. And so there's going to be a crucial time. But knowing that God is going to bless, He's going to put forth the candidate that, you know, He's going to put in office this coming November. This coming November. But knowing, all that, God has a specific plan and will and plan. But think about it. In our prayer requests, there's one thing that we sometimes highlight, and it's called revival. And I believe if we're a Christian, we are praying and seeking for revival here. And so let's go ahead, go to your Bibles here, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 here, and just give a quick here rundown of this chapter here. But notice what it says here in chapter 7 and verse 1. And then we'll go down to our key verse here for this evening. May the Lord use this message for His glory and honor. But notice what it says here in verse 1 in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. It says this, now when Solomon here, so we're going to talk about Solomon a little bit. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, and I'm so thankful that, we can pray and how God can hear and answer requests here. And we're going to notice that. It says here, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So we see here that the temple is going to be dedicated to the Lord here. And we see here in this verse, in verse 1, and we'll notice a couple verses here, but notice verses 1 through 3 here, and we won't read every single verse as we go to our key verse, but we see here the temple is going to be dedicated by God, and we see here how God, with the fire came down from heaven. And we know that from verse 1, it's kind of like a visual proof of God saying His stamp of approval. This is God's approval that He wants done. But notice as we keep reading here, jump down here to verse 4, it says, and the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. It says here in verse 5, and the king Solomon offered a sacrifice. Notice this. This is pretty amazing here. Of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. What amazing. They're lifting up sacrifices. And notice, they're going to be able to, yes, to have this meat. And it's going to last very long. But they're dedicating it to the Lord. But then jump down here to verse 6 here. It says here in verse 6 of chapter 7, it says this, and the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and their priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. we know, you know, yes, we see how God gave his stamp of approval by the fire from heaven, but then also we see the sacrifices as they're giving it to the Lord as well. But then also we're going to see praises, and also Solomon's going to have a feast of dedication to the temple. And as we see here, as we read in verse 6, the Levites have their instruments out, and they're going to, you know, bring music unto the Lord and honoring and Christ honoring. And then also, you know, Solomon here is going to have a feast here for 7 days, and the feast of, many say it's the feast of the tabernacle, but notice what it says in verse 7 here. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because of the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat offerings. And the fat and the meat offering and the fat. It says here in verse 8. And also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering into of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. So we see here the Levites with instruments are bringing music unto the Lord. Solomon with the feast. And we see here they were remembering, because yes, Solomon didn't, you know, create, but they're remembering David's vision, then also his heart for this building of the temple here. But then notice what it says here in verse 11 here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says this: thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make it in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. If you think about it here, the house of the tabernacle is completed. And we see here now in verse 12, in these couple of the verses is relating to our verse, the verse 14 here, God is getting ready to appear in front of Solomon. And we know from the Bible here, as we look through our Bibles here, God appears before Solomon one other time in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. But we see here, notice what it says here in verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I'm so thankful that the Lord hears and answers prayer. But notice this, Solomon's prayer meant nothing unless God hears the prayer. I'm so thankful as a Christian that we have open and direct, and we can pray any time of the day, any time of the night, and he still is willing to hear and answers our request. But notice as we keep reading here, it says here in verse 12, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. In verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Here's our key verse tonight. And I pray that the Lord would use this message for his glory and honor. It says here in verse 14, if my people, now he's including us. Yes, he's talking to Israel, but he's including all Christians here. It says this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, it will heal their land. Think about it, you know, we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and just amazing how this temple is completed. They get to give sacrifices, and as they get to, you know, bring glory and honor to Christ here, and we see this as a well-known passage. Maybe from time to time we read through it, maybe we hear preachers preached about it, maybe we did it something in a devotion, but we see here this verse here in verse 14, and as we're praying as a church, as a whole, think about in our prayer sheet just as well, we're praying for revival, and this is a revival verse. And we see here this word was spoken here to King Solomon, and as he's dedicating this temple to the Lord. And he's told by God, and you can see here in the next couple verses here, notice what it says here in verse 15, now my eyes shall be opened and my ears attentive to thy prayer that is made in this place. For now I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, notice verse 17, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and thou shalt observe my statutes in my judgments. Think about Solomon, he's told by God that disobedience and then also rebelling will result in the very judgment of Israel. This verse is a promise to those who, we see here, will turn from their sin. We know sin is very rampant. We have the Bible talks about how our heart is deceitfully wicked. We go into this world and it's not hard to see sin, to get attentive unto sin. But we see here this verse and how God is promising to those who, you know, who ask the Lord to forgive their sins, to turn from their sins, to call upon Him, and to walk on the ways of God. It's amazing how we can see, as we see here in verse 14, and as we're praying as a church to see revival. Think about it. Yes, this verse is, you know, speaking to Israel, but also it's speaking to every generation. It's speaking to Christians. It's speaking to those who reads this precious word of God. Think about it. In this world today, we need revival. We need a revolution back to the Bible. We see it. It's very rampant today in this world. How crazy, how turmoil. You think about all the stuff that's going on with D.C. and the gas prices to the grocery store and some things. Man, what? You know, maybe many, I remember many years ago going to McDonald's. I remember when the McChicken was $1, and now it's $3.99 or something like that. And it's crazy to see all this stuff that is happening. Then also, not only that, we see people walk away from the Lord, and we see hearts turn, and sometimes we question why. And I tell you, we need revival, not only in our church, but in our hearts. Think about how revival starts in our hearts. I know we love meetings and praise the Lord for meetings, but, you know, we need more than a meeting. We need revival. We want God to get a hold of our hearts. We want God to bless. We need something that just simply can't produce from my hands, or something that we can produce, you know, together. But we need God. God simply hand just to be in it. We need His supernaturalness and just to come down. And only by His sovereign decree, by His sovereign hand, how He can bring down revival. I tell you, it says here in verse 14, if my people here, this is just encouraging here because it's writing to Christians. And we know this verse is not the lost people. And we see here this verse, you know, this lost people, yes, you know, at this time, yes, they need revival, but they need, firstly, the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need to place their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I encourage you, there's maybe somebody in here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Can I encourage you to come while we have the altar time and be able to show, somebody be able to show you through the Bible how you can know the Lord as your personal Savior. But notice as we go throughout this chapter here and throughout these verses here in verse 14, there's a couple things that we see here that can be enemies of revival. Sometimes there could be enemies of revival. Notice what it says here in verse 14 here. And it says this, and we'll notice number one here this evening here. It says this in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, I'm so thankful that God has a special, He loves us so much. Think about it, in the book of Genesis, we are created in His image. But it says this, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humble themselves. Have you ever had a time in which maybe you had a humbling time? Maybe you went through a humbling circumstance. But can I encourage you here this evening here? There's a couple things here. And with the Lord allowing time to be able to get through these couple points here, let us remember here a couple things that can be an enemy of revival and that we need to get out of our hearts. Notice number one, as we take a look already at verse 14, number one is pride. Pride. Think about it, you know, Bible talks a lot about pride and throughout the Bible. And this word pride here, you know, in the Old Testament means to rise up. It means to swell. You know, where it's referring to the rising and fall of the sea. Have you ever been to the beach and maybe saw when it was high tide, it was pretty high, then when it was low tide, pretty low, and maybe you try to go in the waves, and maybe sometimes they're a little too tough to be able to manage sometimes trying to go out there. But it speaks of people thinking more themselves than the ability that God can do in their lives. You know what pride simply saying is this? Pride is saying this, I do not need God. I do not need Him. I can make my own way. I know what's is best for me. I can create my own thing. I can do whatever. I can call the shots in my life. But think about it, pride, you know, thinks I'm more better than others. But sometimes we could be eaten with pride even in our local church. We could be eaten pride even in our families, thinking we are more better than the others. Now, let it not be said of us here. Can you take your Bibles here? Turn with me to the book of Revelation here. Let it not be said what the Bible says about the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3 here. Can I encourage you to turn to Revelation chapter 3 and notice what it says here in verse 17. It says this, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and had not need nothing. And knowest now that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You can think about this as their spiritual condition here. Think about, because they think they know, you know, they're better than others, you know, they don't need nothing. And look how amazing it is without Christ. We are miserable. We are poor. We are blind. We are naked as well. But we see here, you know, pride is simply saying here, I do not need God. I can make my own decision. I can make my own way. I know what's best. I know sometimes in life that, you know, many times in my life, I try to say that, but thankfully the Lord humbles ourselves. But notice here, we have learned sometimes how to function without the help of the Lord, and we need him constantly. We need him every second of our lives. And let it not be said that there's pride in our lives that can hinder our walk with the Lord and also hinder that revival can come into our lives. Think about, God hates pride here. Please take your Bibles to turn with me to the book of Proverbs here. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs here this evening here. And notice what it says here in Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to read here just a couple of verses here. And notice what it says here in Proverbs chapter 6 here and how God hates pride here. Proverbs chapter 6, it says here in verse 16, the six things doeth the Lord hate. Yes, seven are abomination to the Lord, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth the wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Turn with me also, go to Proverbs chapter 8 here, just a couple chapters over here. Notice what it says here in verse 13. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Go with me here, turn to a couple chapters over here to chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11. And notice what it says here in verse 2. It says this in verse 2, Proverbs chapter 11. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Turn to a couple chapters over to Proverbs chapter 16. In Proverbs chapter 16, and notice what it says here from the Word of God in verse 5. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Notice, jump down a couple verses to verse 18. It says this, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with proud. And we know that the Bible speaks a lot about pride and how, think about it, sometimes we think, how can we tell that we have a pride problem? There's many evidences throughout our life. Notice number one here, pride refuses to listen. It always interrupts others. Have you ever been around somebody that's maybe prideful and maybe just talks and interrupts all the time? Maybe think about, pride likes to talk about itself all the time. Pride has an intense desire to be noticed. Look at me, look at this, look at my clothes and all sorts of things here. Think about, pride is not thankful. Pride cannot be corrected. Pride does not like to follow instructions. They want to make their own instructions and make their own rules and make their own, you know, I do whatever I want. Think about, pride brags as well. Pride thinks of its own needs first. But notice, you know, an example here. Many of you heard of Muhammad Ali. Anybody ever heard of Muhammad Ali? He's one of the great boxers. And there's one time that he was getting ready to board a flight. And as he's getting ready to board a flight here, he's talking to many people here and, you know, just saying, hey, my name's Muhammad Ali, and just showing, you know, hey, look at me. And the next, you know, it was time to board the flight. And as you know, when it's time to board the flight, you put your seatbelt on, you get ready, you know, everybody, you know, I remember when my first time flying, you know, hold on to the seat, make sure I'm all right. But Muhammad Ali here, he's still greeting people in the flight here. He's talking the passengers. And when the flight attendant came back and said, you know, Mr. Ali, you know, I know that you're talking to people, but we're getting ready to get up off the ground and be able to travel here, and you need to sit down and have your seatbelt buckled, and because the plane is about to take off. And then Muhammad Ali said to this flight attendant, look at me. I don't need a seatbelt. Go back to, you know, what you was doing. But then the flight attendant looked at Muhammad Ali and said, you know what? You don't need a plane either. You know, you can get off this plane. Now sit down and you know what? Buckle up, because we are getting ready to go. I'm so thankful that God has a better plan. Go back with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. They put the word humble. It means to bend the knee, to bring down. It means to place the self under, you know, under another. Think about having a prideful heart, having a prideful look, or whatever it may be. Well, not loud, you know, the prideful person to bow their knee to the Lord. And think about it, we need to bow down to the Lord in every single way. And there's areas in our life that, oh, I don't want him to give this, or man, look at me, I'm a little too prideful in this area. But we need to give God everything in our lives. And God desires his people to take whatever steps that is necessary to bring everything unto the very authority that God wants us to have. That he wants us to know that we cannot do it alone. He wants us to know that there's nothing that I can do without Christ. He can simply take something from us right then. You think about it, you know, the Lord knows, you know, every single thing. He wants us to know that we are dependent upon him for everything. Think about it, you know, my life is not my own. As we see here, let us be said of us that we are humble. Let us said of us that, you know what, we are willing to submit unto the very authority that God has for our lives. Let us not be prideful. Let us not be, you know, sometimes, you know, we go into churches and we look at others and, oh, look at that person over there. Look at that person over there. Oh, boy, look at that person over there. You know, let's not be prideful of think about ourselves, but let us, you know, think about it. Let us be a testimony for the Lord. Think about God desires for us to get closer to him. Think about it. If we are going to have revival, let's get pride out of our hearts. Let's get it out. It may be the smallest of pride to the biggest of pride, but let's get it out. You know what? If we want to see revival, let's get one of those things out. But notice as we keep reading here, verse 14, it says this, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Pray. Number two here, an enemy of revival is prayerlessness. Prayer is so vital for the Christian. And we see here in verse 14 that the people of God, think about us, we are encouraged to pray. Even when sometimes we're praying for years, sometimes when we're praying that we're going to give up, we need to keep praying, asking God to work in a mighty way. Notice these couple verses about prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. John chapter 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that thou receive them, and ye shall have them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Let's pray without stopping. Prayerless, you know, just like pride, it says, you know what, I don't need to call upon God. You know, I can just make it just fine without his aid. And think about times and times again when we try to do in our strength, we fall every single time. We fall right on our faces, and we cannot do it without Christ. Think about prayerlessness relies on myself or my resources. You think about my resources, this comes from God. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns my body. He owns everything. And we deserve to give a rightfully, you know, place in which he deserved. We need to give him everything. But the Bible here is talking about pray. It says here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. The fact that, you know, think about it, we can pray for revival, but sometimes, think about it, we will never have a revival apart from prayer. Prayer is getting the ultimate statement of inability. You know, prayer looks to God and say, you know what, I can't, Lord, but I know a God that can. There's a request that we may have that we keep bringing to the Lord. I know that I can't do it in the best of my resources, the best of my ability, the best of what I can do. But Lord, I know there's a God that, you know, you, Lord, that can do anything. You can hear, you can answer, you can do great wonders. And it's amazing how prayer, think about it, acknowledges personal, profound dependence upon God. There's nothing that I can do at all. But God is going to have to come up and show and work in a mighty way. Think about it. We need prayer. It says this, and pray. Think about when the last time I actually went on my knees and pray and weep over a soul that needs Christ. When the last time that I prayed and weep over a church and we're praying that, you know, God to do great and mighty things. When the last time I prayed and asked the Lord just to work in such a mighty way in our family, in our lives, and in my life. When the last time we just got down and talked real to God. When the last time we asked God, we're praying for revival, but we're asking, we're weeping for God just to come and bring revival in America. Think about it, we go throughout, when we leave these doors, so much turmoil. Let's ask God, help us, Lord, to be the lights. And think about lights we need to be for Christ. Help us, Lord, to bring people into the church house. Help us, Lord, to be a testimony. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid. And help us to have boldness. Think about just like Paul, to have boldness, be able to share people, you know, the gospel, and to be able to, you know, give them a track at the grocery store or whatever it may be. But it's amazing what prayerlessness does in our life. We think about, oh, I can do it alone. I have all the resources, but we know that there's nothing that we can do without God. Think about it, we can pray. You know, many times we get ready for a service or maybe a meeting and we just pray for a couple minutes. I know many people, you know, that has list after list after list that they're praying for, and they pray for hours. They pray for hours for many needs. They pray for hours for a loved one to come to know the Lord as their Savior. They're praying for hours for somebody that will get right with the Lord. They're praying for hours for somebody to get out of that sin. But let us, you know, think about it. Every day we have an opportunity. We have 24 hours. And think about what hurt. What would hurt if we just take 10 minutes to pray out of 24 hours? Pray for our church. Pray for the needs. Pray that God can work in a mighty way. Think about it. It's amazing what God can do. Notice what it says here back in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. It says this, and my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. It will forgive their sin. It will heal their land. Can I encourage you lastly, number three here, you know what's an enemy of revival is sometimes our priorities. Our priorities. Sometimes we don't have our priorities straight where we need to. God is saying here in verse 14 that we need to seek his face. And the word seek, it means to search out. It means to, especially by worship or prayer, that you see here, it says in verse 14, and seek my face. And that face is mentioned. It means the countenance or to turn towards his direction. We're turning towards the direction of God. And this phrase is a call for the very people of God to stop looking at ourselves or stop looking for help or purpose in any other thing, but to simply to call upon God to make God the primary focus and first priority in their lives. You think about it, revival does not come from people that's seeking revival, but people that seek God. And when we seek God, God can bring revival. When we seek God, God can do wonders. When we seek God, you know, God can do what many of us think is this amazing, just the supernatural. Think about it. It says this here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Can I encourage you to be humble? Number two, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. It will heal their land. Anyway, if we could be really honest here this evening, what's our number one priority in life? What's our number one priority in life? Is it God? Is it money? Is it our job? Is it making sure my bank account is full? And I wish that was pretty cool. I wish that was, you know, in my life. But you know what? You know, amazing, when you trust God, maybe it's our family, maybe it's our hobby, our spouse. But can I encourage you to have our priority focus on God? And when God is our number one priority in our life, think about it. These are steps that God can lead to revival. Think about our priority. Let's make sure we have our priority straight. Think about when the doors are open, we need to be here. When it's time for God to come and to worship together as a body of believers, we need to be here. Think about when things are happening, when you think about we're going to have a great opportunity to be able to assemble some Bibles on Friday and Saturday. You know what? We need to try our best, our ability. I know things come. I know we get sick. But you know what? Have a priority straight. You know, wow, if I just assemble a couple Bibles, wow, just amazing to see where those Bibles are going to be able to go. And maybe somebody will trust Christ by touching those Bibles and reading those Bibles. It's amazing what God can do when we pray, when we humble ourselves, when we seek his face. Think about when we turn from our wicked ways. I'm so thankful that we don't have to go back to the old man, but we can stick with the new man with Christ. It says here, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. I'm so thankful that God is a God that forgives and he loves us so much. But it says this, it will heal their land. I know many of us were praying that God will work in our country's lives. Think about we need in a generation that is willing to go on our knees and lift up the truth and love. Think about revival will not come from just simply seeking revival. It will only come from God as we seek him. It will only come as we seek God. It's amazing when his Holy Spirit power just to come upon us. It's amazing what God can do with the spirit of unity, with the spirit of revival. It's amazing what God can do in our hearts. Can I encourage you, number one, to remember, number one, you know, as we take a look in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, remember, let's get pride out of our hearts. Let's get prayerlessness out of our hearts. Let's make sure we have the right priorities in our hearts. Let's make sure when it's time for me to show up, I'm in my place. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready, Lord, whatever you have for me is what I want to do. And I'm so thankful that God can use us. He chooses to use us, and rightfully, he doesn't even need to use us at all. And I'm so thankful that we humble, pray, seek, turn. Think about it, it's a constant repetition. Humble, pray, seek, return. We have every head bowed and eyes closed, and thank you for being so attentive here this evening.